This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Bank bailout, not such a budget buster.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our daily look at the economy just as trading gets underway. The government says its big rescue of financial companies is looking much less expensive than first thought. And we're going to get there after we first ask the question, where's Wall Street? Up a bit, S&P 500 and the NASDAQ and the Dow are all ahead 0.25% this morning. So for the Dow, that means a rise of 28 points. It's at 10,417. And looking around the world, European stock indices are a muddle this morning, some up, some down. And the same with Asian markets earlier today. Investors seem to be still deciding what to make of Friday's surprisingly improved employment outlook. You know, the November unemployment rate ticked down a couple of tenths as our economy's net job loss shrank to almost nothing. Let's talk about some of the implications now with Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. He's with us live from New York this morning. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Bill.
Why do you think stocks' response has been muted since that unemployment report?
Well, I think it's because investors are now wondering whether the Fed might take it upon themselves to start raising interest rates more quickly than had been anticipated. I think most were expecting them to raise rates toward the latter part of 2010, but now that might be accelerated.
So how does that relate, if it does, to, I see the dollar is on the rise this morning. Gold has fallen again. It fell 4% on Friday, another 2.5% so far this morning. What's going on?
Well, I think that they are together. They are in tandem because if interest rates do rise, it makes our bonds more attractive to foreign investors. But at the same time, higher interest rates tends to slow the rate of inflation. And since gold is traditionally viewed as an inflation hedge, if inflation is not going to be a problem, then we don't need to hedge.
So in just a few seconds, Sam, does this mean the gold rally is over?
I don't think so. I think that we are simply correcting from the very sharp advance over a very short period of time, but I think we could end up seeing gold prices resume their upward trend in the next couple of weeks.
Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research, live from New York. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome, Bill.
There's some welcome news for the U.S. taxpayer this morning. Reports indicate the government's big financial bailout program actually might not be nearly as costly as we thought. We get more from Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite, who joins us live also, and also from New York. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Bill.
So why the smaller bailout price tag?
Well, basically, the banks have a lot to do with it. They're repaying government funds a lot faster than anyone expected. Big financial institutions like JP Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, they've all repaid their bailout funds. Bank of America just announced it's planning to do the same thing. So that just leaves Citibank waiting in the wings. And so Treasury lent $370 billion in bailout money to companies that hit trouble during the initial financial crisis. And reports say it now expects to get back most of that, all but $42 billion of that.
So is that to say that our big banks are on the mend?
Well, not everyone thinks so. I spoke to Christopher Whalen of Institutional Risk Analytics a bit earlier and asked him if this was good news.
Well, no, it's mostly public relations spin by the White House and the Treasury. You have to remember that the Fed has manipulated the securities market to such an extent that the banks look pretty good.
He says the Fed's effectively been subsidizing the banks. I mean, there have been these very low interest rates. The Fed's bought a lot of those problematic mortgage-backed securities, so the banks don't have to write down losses on those. So he says when the Fed starts unwinding some of the policies it's using now, we could be looking at a very sobering picture.
So as for those paid-back funds, how's the government planning to use that money?
Well, there's talk of them using some of those funds to pay for a jobs program, and we could hear more about that in a speech the president's making tomorrow.
Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Monday, December 7th at Marketplace.org. Today is the deadline for Goldman Sachs shareholders to submit proposals for the firm's annual meeting. Several of the proposals that have already been submitted reportedly relate to compensation. At issue is whether shareholders approve of the amount of money Goldman plans to pay its people this year. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has that.
Goldman Sachs plans to hand out almost $17 billion in bonuses, so the company has embarked on a charm offensive, trying to convince shareholders that everything's under control.
Had this happened 2 years ago, there would be very little chance, I think, of a shareholder revolt. Today, I think it's a very different story.
Charles Elson directs the Weinberg Center on Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware. He says investors like the 97% return on their stock this year, but many are concerned too much of the firm's profits are going to employees. Not everyone's upset, though.
It is at the high end, but then again, the results are also at the high end.
That's Eric Marinac, Chief Investment Officer at Victory Capital Management, which owns stock in Goldman. He says shareholders already have as much say as they need.
You're always free to sell your stock.
Marinac says Goldman has to pay its people what the market demands, but he's okay with more stock-based compensation to encourage long-term thinking. Golden handcuffs, he calls it. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The last year was one of the worst in recent memory for auto sales, and it was one of the worst for auto advertisers. Now, ad agency BBDO, which has done ads for Chrysler for decades, says its relationship with the car maker will be ending early next year. Marketplace's Elisa Roth has more.
The website for BBDO's Detroit office still has a link for people who want to work there. Good luck applying. The company says it'll close its Detroit office soon, and almost 500 people will lose their jobs.
They're trying to sort of start fresh, if you will.
It's not just Chrysler and BBDO. All the car companies are shopping around for new ad agencies. John Walkonowitz follows the auto industry at the consultant firm IHS Global Insight.
People want to create a new situation. They want to try something new because clearly the old didn't work.
Even so, the market for would-be Don Drapers is tough because the auto advertising business follows the auto industry itself. Kip Cassino tracks auto ads for Burrell Associates.
This coming year, 2010, will be a better year than last year, but that's not saying much.
He says he doesn't know what'll happen to the BBDO employees who get laid off. But Chrysler's already moved on. On Friday, the company said an agency in Minneapolis is working on its new commercials. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Can you imagine Pepsi with a seat on Coke's board of directors? Well, that's essentially what eBay seems to be fighting for in a case that goes before a Delaware court today. It wants a seat on the board of Craigslist, the country's leading online classified ad site. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
When eBay bought just over 25% of Craigslist back in 2004, it got a seat on the board and made no secret that it wanted to learn how to get into the online classified market. Soon after, it launched a rival classified site called Kijiji, and then came the lawsuits. eBay claims Craigslist execs quietly sold new shares, diluting eBay's stake just enough to throw it off the board. Craigslist accuses eBay of stealing confidential information. The whole case has securities lawyer Jacob Frankel scratching his head.
It borders on the incredible for a competitor to have a seat on that board.
Craigslist leads the U.S. market, but eBay's classifieds rule in numerous foreign countries. Peter Zollman writes the Classified Intelligence Report. He says eBay sees the growth it needs in classifieds.
Because it is such an important business and such a lucrative business in many cases, that looks like it's going to be one of the keys for eBay for the next few years.
But attorney Jacob Frankel wonders if there's something else at stake.
This case very much smacks of bruised egos battling it out.
We'll hear from execs on both sides starting today. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Opening ceremonies began today in Copenhagen, Denmark, for the UN Conference on Climate Change. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz is there. He joins us now. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Bill.
So these climate talks begin at a time, of course, of a big global slowdown. How is the global recession affecting the conference?
Well, the recession's affecting it incredibly. I mean, basically it comes down to this. Poor countries want rich countries to give them cash and technology so that they can develop a clean energy infrastructure for themselves. Many of these poor countries make the products that we consume in the developed world. And meanwhile, the rich countries are busy trying to figure out, you know, how on earth they're going to divvy the bill.
And as of now, Rob, what kind of agreement, if any, does it look like is going to be reached at this conference?
It's difficult to say, but, you know, on the first day here, I mean, there's a lot of optimism. We've had a lot of delegates talk about, look, U.S. President Barack Obama is coming at the end of the conference. He changed his schedule to arrive at the finale of the conference. That's a message saying, hey, we need a deal.
Well, what have you noticed so far in your time in Copenhagen?
Well, you know, Copenhagen looks like a big global warming advertisement. I mean, you see Coca-Cola commercials that have taken the C out of Copenhagen and added an H, Copenhagen. You know, all these advertisements are everywhere. It almost outdoes the Christmas lights here.
Marketplace's Rob Schmitz joining us from Copenhagen, Denmark. Thank you.
Thanks.
The leisure travel industry is going to keep hurting into next year thanks to the tight household budget. That's the forecast from a Florida travel research firm. Leisure happens to be the subject of this morning's Marketplace Globalist Quiz with our quizmaster, Stefan Richter of theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Bill. Are you ready for today's Globalist Quiz?
Yes, I am.
So here's my question. It concerns the gender gap. Is it true that men in the developed world have more leisure time than women, or is that false?
Well, I'm always hearing that women are taking on more responsibility. I'm going to guess it's true. Men have more leisure time.
Yeah, that is true.
Okay. And how about in the United States? How does leisure time differ between women and men?
You know, it's interesting. The OECD did measurements for all rich countries, and what they found is that each day, American men on average have an extra 38 minutes of leisure time compared to women in the United States.
38 minutes per day?
Per day. And that doesn't sound like a lot, you know, a minute here, a minute there, but over the course of the year, it adds up to 13,870 minutes, almost 10 days, that men have extra time off compared to the chores that women run through in a given day.
And do Americans have much more leisure time than the rest of the world?
No, they are outdone. In fact, by, wouldn't you know it, the Italians. They are the kings in terms of taking time off. Italian men have an average of almost 80 minutes more leisure time each day than Italian women do, and that's double the U.S. level. So if you want to move to Italy, take your time off.
Stefan Richter, publisher and editor-in-chief of theglobalist.com, the daily online magazine on the global economy, politics, and culture. Thanks.
Good to be with you.
And finally, the global recession might cost us a close encounter. Britain's defense ministry has shut down its UFO investigation unit after more than 50 years of service, saying it has found no proof of extraterrestrials and it can no longer justify the cost. Our condolences to the ministry's UFO officer in charge of dealing with reported sightings. He or she has just lost an awesome job. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.